This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Open up a honey, it's your lover boy, me that's knocking. Why don't you listen to me, sugar? All the cats are at the high school rocking. Honey, get your bopping shoes before the jukebox blows the fuse. Hey, everybody hopping, everybody's bopping, bopping at the high school hop. Well, the bopping at the high school hop, taking at the high school hop, hopping at the high school hop, rocking at the high school hop. Well, everybody hopping, everybody's bopping, bopping at the high school hop.
Oh, yeah. How about Jerry Lee Lewis to get you going in the morning, huh? Boy, that guy, and he's still alive. I'm guessing he's about 88 years old. Have to look him up. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, August 25th. In a few minutes, Weifeng Zong is going to join us. He of George Mason University and the Mercatus Center. We're going to talk about how many U.S. colleges, universities will carry warning labels on some historical and political studies to allegedly protect any Chinese students from their government back home. Now, isn't that strange? So stay tuned for it. And as the Republican convention steers into day two, another city steers out of control with rioting and destruction. Would things really settle down in major cities if Joe Biden became president? Or would it get worse? Would it get worse? We'll find out. We're going to talk with the proprietor of Mainstream America's most trusted poll, the Barber poll, Andrew Ceraci, to find out what he thinks. And did you watch any of the Democratic convention last week? Did you watch Joe Biden's acceptance speech? Well, we're going to fact check Joe Biden's acceptance speech and bring up at least seven things he got wrong. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. I think we have a good one. The top 10 greatest animated movies. Greatest animated movies. Let's see how many you saw. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best hair cutter and hair cutting place in Tampa Bay. You guys, you got to get over there. You'll get a great haircut at a great price. You got to call first. 727-733-3773. That's 733-3773 in Dunedin. So also when you get a chance, visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com. If you cannot listen to us live, you can listen to us anytime your little heart desires, because Big Ed sets up all our shows on podcast, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, I guess the Republican convention is convening day two. Today, yesterday, if you watched any of it, there was a couple of interesting people. Tim Scott used his spot. He's a black conservative senator, Republican, and he delivered a powerful address. He sounded optimistic. He slammed Democrats, and in particular Biden, on everything from his record on race to his vision on America. Here's what Scott said. He said, I'm living my mother's American dream. Noting he was 7 years old when his parents got a divorce and lived in a two-bedroom house, sharing a room and a bed with his mom and his brother. And he talked about how his mom worked 16 hours a day to keep food on the table and a roof over their heads. And he said he thought he would use football to succeed in life, like so many, you know, blacks think about sports as a way to get out. But he said his focus on academics had faded away. He failed his freshman year. Four subjects he failed: Spanish, English, geography, and civics. Wow. And look what he has become. So he fought hard to get there. Quite a story. Also, I don't know if you saw Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley is a good spokesman for the Republicans. She's the former UN ambassador. And she touted Trump's foreign policy, went after Biden for his, quote, record of weakness and failure. She's the daughter of Indian immigrants. If you did not know that, she comes from South Carolina. She pushed back on claims of racism. And she called it personal when she hears about things being blamed on the Republicans when it comes to race. And she referred to the mass shooting of South Carolina, the Mother Emanuel Church, in which a white supremacist killed 12 black parishioners. So, you know, these are two good minority spokesmen that that got up and were talking at the Republican convention. Now, I think, I don't know, I saw the girlfriend of one of the Trump boys, whose name now escapes me, and Ed, you're going to have to help me. She's that Hispanic woman. She came on rather strong. She almost needed an audience behind her emotion.
I think former NFL player Herschel Walker did a great job,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he did do a good job. Yeah. You're right about that. I didn't see him.
He's really being called out in the sports world right now for backing Trump.
Well, you know,
the athletes like LeBron James are, you know, calling him out, and he's a sellout. And all that
oh yeah,
stuff.
It takes some real courage to be a black conservative, and yeah, especially in sports. Especially in sports, because they will censor you, mm-hmm, they will blacklist you. It's the same thing in Hollywood.
Yeah,
if you're a black conservative actor, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? And there are. And there are. Now, there are a lot of people. I've been watching a lot of shows, and it's interesting how many Democrats or former Democrats I hear that now say that they have become Republicans. I don't know if it's because of Trump or it's because of what the Democratic Party has turned into. I mean, I think Trump, I mean, I'll be honest, and you know this, I find him hard to listen to because he's so self-aggrandizing. But I like what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth. So when I hear people go after him because of his personality, I turn him off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sure, you can gotcha me all you want about what Trump has said.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the policy, what he's done.
Right.
You know, and you got to look past the messenger.
And I think that what I said yesterday, that Trump is basically getting a lot of people that were on the fence about whether to vote for him or Biden. And I think Biden just sunk himself last week when he told David Muir in an interview with David Muir from ABC News that if he were president and his scientists on the coronavirus had shut the country down, he would shut it down. And people just like, that guy doesn't need to be president.
No. I think that shows that it's a bit of a sign of weakness and his inability to take control of things. I mean, you can fault Trump for a lot of things, but one of the things you cannot fault him for is willing to take the reins,
right?
Take control. You know, he's very, very comfortable in taking control. But we're going to talk a little bit later about some of the things that Joe Biden talked about in his acceptance speech, and there are at least seven things that an objective fact checker might have pointed out. Anyway, we're going to change horses. Going to take our break. When we come back, Weifan Zhang is going to be with us. We're going to talk a little bit about Chinese students and sensitivity in college.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshew.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
They're really rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA. Deep in the heart.
Hey, we are back on our Tuesday Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for joining us today. And we are delighted to have Weifeng Zong join us. He is a senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And we're going to talk a little bit about American universities and taking some steps to protect students, especially Chinese students, from the Chinese government when political subjects, historical subjects that may involve China are discussed. Weifeng, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Absolutely, our pleasure. I think this is very interesting. And you mentioned that Harvard and Princeton, among other schools, are going to carry what you call warning labels this fall about covering material that may be politically sensitive. In other words, is this a way of protecting Chinese students that enroll in these classes? What is this all about?
So according to the report put out by the Wall Street Journal, and also I should clarify, it's not that the universities you mentioned rolled out a university-wide policy to put the warning labels. It's the some of the professors who are teaching class, like such as Chinese politics, they voluntarily label their own classes, or they will do that in the fall. And so this is a completely voluntary act. And I think the motives or the motivation here is to protect Chinese students who are studying in class, who might get into class discussion that will later on become or deemed sensitive to the Chinese government.
Okay.
And also, in another part of the motivation, is to protect those, I think some professors, they might actually travel to China for their research work, for field work, and collect data or talk to the Chinese decision makers, for example. And I mean, I think they could also be in at risk at odds with the national security law.
So the Chinese government is so pervasive in the lives of Chinese students, even if they are here in the United States. Well, first of all, are we only talking about Chinese students that come over from mainland China, or are we talking about Chinese students in general? Who are we trying to protect? Who are these teachers trying to protect?
I think primarily their own students who are from China. So they could physically, those students could be physically in the U.S., but they could also be just taking courses online because I think first year, because of the COVID-19, first year students who are registered to entirely virtual schools, they will have to take classes from where they are, in this case, China. So those Chinese students, they could be logging on from their own home to virtual classrooms at Princeton or Harvard or in those colleges.
Mm-hmm. So what are we going to do? And I mean, is there something that should be done? If the teachers are self-censoring because they fear that some of their Chinese students might be but might be affected by the Chinese government. It's kind of like, seems to me, it's kind of like whitewashing the course and, you know, that they are teaching. So they're not going to be, they're not going to be completely open in their classroom teaching, apparently, either. The whole thing sounds a little scary to me.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because I think, so there are two effects. One is intended, one is in unintended. The intended effect would be that for the professors who label their class possibly sensitive, I assume they have the courage then to teach sensitive materials, given that they already label their class, right? So the students who don't dare to take their classes would not register in the first place. But then for the students who actually register, they are free to talk about whatever they want, given that it's already labeled as sensitive anyway. But I'm more concerned about the unintended consequence, in the sense that there might be other professors on the margin who, you know, may or may not talk about sensitive issues. And their reasoning might be that, you know, why don't I just not talk about them, and so that I don't need to scare away my students. And that's, I think, where self-censorship comes in more often.
We're talking with Weifeng Zong. He is a senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. We're talking a little bit about, I guess we could say in general, Weifeng, about the pervasiveness of and the far-reaching effects of the Chinese government. You know, we now have been worried about the, I don't know what word you would use, but China's involvement in our businesses and in our medical facilities, perhaps even in our universities, how they have kind of come in rather surreptitiously to either undermine or steal information for their own purposes. Is this in any way kind of a product of that?
Yeah, and I think it's a long time coming, in the sense that so the U.S. has been engaging with a more or less a romantic economic relationship with China since early 2000s. And I think we U.S. policymakers and the general public didn't foresee that the security consequences could be so important later on. And so, for example, universities, right, since we're talking about this subject, they have been engaging with Chinese academics for decades. You know, they have exchange programs, and some American professors, they took funding from the Chinese institutions affiliated with the Chinese government without disclosing it to American policymakers, right? According to law, they should have, though. And so these kind of exchanges, of course, it benefits the academic or intellectual development in the U.S., but it also exposed the threat that we didn't really see that coming. And it has been around for decades, including self-censorship, without even having the national security laws. Some professors they deliberately do not talk as much or as harshly about China in classroom.
You know, if I could label this year, I would call it the year of China. We have the virus. We have the involvement of China in many of the things that are going on in the United States from either an academic or a business standpoint. So let me ask you, with all of this, do we have reason to fear the Chinese government for what can occur and how it might affect our country and our way of life right now? Or is this something that maybe, you know, is something that's going to, over time, is going to dissipate a little bit?
I don't think we should fear, and I don't think for policymaking purposes, it's not good to have fear anyway. But what the U.S. Could do and should do in the years coming, in the years to come, is to figure out a strategy so that we can counter those threats in a more effective way. And I say this because the more engagement has gone on, the larger the cost it is to some sort of solve those problems. For example, if we were to deal with campus free speech issues coming from China, it would be much easier to do that 10 years ago than now. Now that a lot of universities, they take a large fraction of their revenues are coming from tuition. paid by those Chinese students.
Yes.
And so the longer the engagement has gone on, the more costly it is to solve those issues. But it doesn't mean that we have to go for, you know, a blunt disengagement like the new Cold War that some people are advocating for. But it calls for more clear-headed discussions, which I think many of us are doing right now, including this conversation we are having, to figure out, you know, what would be the good way. And, for example, voluntarily letting professors voluntarily tag their classes as sensitive, I think, would not be a good solution. But, you know, one might talk about what would be a better solution, and I think as time goes by, we'll be able to figure out a better approach.
You know, talking about this issue, if we expand the whole concept here of how universities, which used to be places where you could voice opinion without fear of, you know, being attacked, I guess you might say, now it's the opposite. Now you got to be very careful about what you say out loud for what they call fears of, sensitivity or whatever you want to call it. Certain thoughts and voices are being shut down. I mean, mainly it seems like conservative voices are being shut down in colleges, universities. Speakers are being shut down from universities, conservative speakers. So we don't have that, you know, what we used to call true liberalism, which is, you know, the ability, the diversity of thought, and the freedom to be able to express it. It seems to be shutting down. I think this maybe with the situation with maybe in some small way with the Chinese students is kind of an indication.
Yeah, I think the problem is certainly very general. We are no longer at the age where the limitation on freedom of speech comes with authorities, you know, coming at you with the stick. Right? So it's not that whether we talk about sensitive issues in China would involve Chinese government coming toward us with a stick, but it's more on the market demand. You know, when we talk about, or even talk about companies doing business in China, they might in some way kowtow to the Chinese demand because they want the market, right? Because the market is so big. And if you say some sensitive topics in the class, you might scare away your students, which might reduce your revenue. So I think this kind of soft, one might call soft power, it's a big challenge in the society, including academics who may not want to express the conservative thoughts in college environment because they might lose their friends or they might, you know, be unpopular among students as well.
Yeah.
This is what drives self-censorship exactly.
I think it's very scary. I don't know if we'll ever get back to, you know, the freedom, the academic freedom, so that you can wander around campus and not be afraid to express your viewpoints, allow yourself to be heard. I don't know if we'll ever get back to that point, but very interesting discussion, Wai Feng. I really appreciate your coming on, talking to us about all of this, and I hope we'll be talking again soon down the road.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Wai Feng Zhang. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, my gosh, we're going to talk a little bit about the Republican convention in day two. We're going to talk about the trouble in certain major cities if Biden is elected or not. We'll talk about this with Andrew Ceresi, Master Barber.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAN Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM, to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Hey, by the way, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great TAN Talk Radio Network. And lest I forget, you got to listen to Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy, brighten your morning. It's a great program. Well, we're going to fact check Joe Biden in a little while, but one of the things that he talked about was raising taxes on Americans making more than $400,000 per year. That sounds real safe, right? How many of us make more than $400,000? Well, Andrew, you make it, but other than yourself, I don't know of anybody that makes that much. And it's not possible for him to be able to say that. And in all honesty, also say that it's not going to affect the taxes of people under that. Because when you start taxing those kinds of people and their businesses, guess what? They pass those taxes on to all the people under them. Right or wrong, Andrew?
Well, he's talking about raising all the taxes. He talked to raising the corporate tax again. Everything that Trump brought back will take off again.
Yeah, I don't think he should stay away. Although he was asked that question, was he not, mm-hmm. On the ABC show? One of the few shows, by the way, that he's come out like, you know, he's kind of like the gopher on Groundhog Day. He won't come out, and then he finally
That's
came
nickname.
Out.
Groundhog. You know,
yeah, or gopher. now that I think about it, that would be Joe Gopher. I kind of like Joe Gopher.
You know, Paul. If you watch Biden, you watch the Democrat Party, you hear what they got to say. Hate Trump, raise taxes, hate Trump, racist. That's all they said their whole convention.
Yeah, very dark.
Now, the first day of the Republican convention, I fell asleep last night. I forgot. I think the last two people had to come, but I missed them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the difference, look at Herschel Walker, how he talked.
Yes, he was very inspiring, was
okay.
He not?
The black congressman that they tried to get rid of and wanted him to resign. Did you hear him talk?
Yeah, Tim Scott.
Tim Scott, fantastic.
Fantastic, you know? Talk, yes.
I mean,
Nikki
if you
Haley.
Can't tell me...
Go ahead.
Yep, if you can't tell me that they are lighting up and giving us hope of what's going on here and telling us what's going to be done and what's already been done, Paul. You know, to vote Democrat, you really got to be out of your mind and you don't know any better and you're walking around in this country with blindfolds on.
And, you know, they didn't even make mention of any of the rioting, which I think is to their great disadvantage. They needed to take hold of that issue, the Democrats. And
well,
they
Paul,
needed to provide hope to their people about how they would handle it, but they wouldn't touch it.
No, they won't touch it, Paul, because they're behind it. They want it to happen. They think that by doing this, the people are going to be scared and the Democrats are going to get rid of, or the Republicans are going to get rid of Trump because this is all his fault. Paul, they're counting on people hating Trump to win an election, period. That's it.
Yes, on his personality. They go after, it's the old story. I don't like what the guy is saying, but I can't refute what he's doing and saying, so I'm going to shoot him. Shoot the messenger, right? Kill the messenger because we don't like the message or something. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to know how many of these Democrats and everybody sent their stimulus checks back without catching or without cashing.
I wouldn't sit around waiting for them to come back, that's for sure.
I mean, that was good of Trump, wasn't it? Then they're getting their $600 a week unemployment plus their $275 a week. These people were making more money staying home with this going on. And then you see Biden, his tweet this morning after the convention was, it's because of Trump that the COVID virus took over.
I don't think people can't be that stupid.
No, well, look, they vote for him, they are.
Well, they're voting for him because...
You
know, one of the interesting things is when you debate people that are on one side of like that, and they go after the person, and they avoid the issues. And that's where, you know, you got to bring people back to the issues. You know, what are they trying to do? What are the issues here? What are the Democrats, what are they going to do?
Nothing. They're going to put it a third world country.
Okay, but you won't, Democrats won't, they don't want to sit too long on the policy issues. They want to hop off that and hop back on Trump's, you know, peculiarities.
Paul, I'm still going with a landslide for Trump.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
I'll tell you, I think he's going to take California.
I'm telling you, Andrew, I would bet you, but I don't want to see you have to pull money out of your pocket and hand it to me because
If he does that,
I am going to buy you a crown and put it on your head because that will be the greatest prediction I have ever heard come true.
Paul, I don't doubt nothing today, Paul. This country's in turmoil. California is rotting in hell.
It's very sad. What's happened to it? Yes.
You know, all of California doesn't want, I don't think they all want to sit there and see their state go to hell, and it already is.
Now, one of the speakers at the Republican convention, and I asked Ed, because I cannot remember her name, was married to the current governor of California. She used to appear on Fox News. She's Hispanic. And she made that very emotional speech. Now, help me out, Andrew.
I can't remember her name.
She's Hispanic. She's attractive. And she was married. She was married to Governor Newsom.
Yeah,
at one point.
I've seen her before. I know who you're talking
about.
Okay.
Anyway,
I don't know her name.
It's pretty interesting how she talked about how California has deteriorated.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, how long are the people going to stand for it? I mean, there's got to be people that
think
say,
so.
Hey, man.
You would think
in Washington and Oregon.
You would think about it, right?
You know, Paul, you see in Portland, I guess the people were starting to fight back. But what good is it? It's already destroyed.
It's so sad.
You people let it happen. It's terrible. I mean, I heard Ed talking on the morning show the other day. I told you, he's thinking something's going to happen in Tampa because of the mayor and the police chief. And I said, I guarantee you they're going to handle it a little bit different here.
Well, now there's something going on in Kenosha. Now, it does sound bad when you pump about five bullets into the back of somebody. That does sound bad. Now, the guy is alive. God forbid if he had died, how Kenosha would have...
You know, Paul, he sat there and said he's got a gun. And started heading back to the car. When the police tell you put your hands up and stop, you do it. You don't say, I got a gun, and go reach in a car.
Yeah, I think there's much more.
Didn't you learn that in first grade in school? Listen to the police?
No, I learned it in second grade. I don't know, maybe you learned it.
I mean, you know, let's be real. Yeah, they think they could walk away, and no.
No, of course not. I mean, it's stupid. And I'm sure that the guy that, you know, he provoked the police. There's no question, and we don't know all the details. But anyway, the point is that we have tinderboxes in all of these cities. And they are waiting to explode. You have mentioned Tampa. Well, then I'm assuming that there's a tinderbox there waiting to explode.
You know, Paul, here you had the black man shot by the police yesterday, right? Five times, seven times, whatever it was. But a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, you had the five-year-old boy shot point blank in the head by the black man. Nobody heard a thing about that, did they?
Well, no, they didn't, except on some of the conservative networks.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody heard nothing about that. I'm tired of this. One person gets shot by the police, and the whole country's in an uproar. You know, come on.
And, well, you know, and we've talked about this many times on our program, about never group people into a race or, you know, whatever, because or an ethnic group, because that's when trouble starts, because you are then dividing people up. You know what I mean?
And it's been going on now, Paul, for how many years?
And if you individualize,
since Obama got in office.
If you individualize people and not look at them as some sort of the carrier of some genetic thing, you know, if you and you treat them as an individual, but it's very hard to do it in this day and age. Very hard.
Yeah, they're making
everybody's
it this
taking
way,
sides.
Paul.
You know,
they're making it this way. They're forgetting that they're American. Did you hear that one veteran that's running for Congress last night?
Tell me about it.
That was talking. I forgot what his name was. He was on Fox again this morning. He goes, let me tell you something. He goes, I got blown up by a rocket in Afghanistan. And he goes, let me tell you, when this was going on, there were 24 of us in a platoon, red, yellow, black, blue, all colors. We were all American. We were surrounded, okay, by Halas, or what's it there? Whatever.
Yeah.
I can't think of their name right now. But they were surrounded. They were getting shot at like crazy. They said, let me tell you something. We're all blood red. Believe me. I was wounded three
That's
times.
That's exactly right.
Okay?
We all bleed red.
These people better, and they better be American, okay? It's like I told you. The only thing going to unite this country is the War of the Worlds, man. We got to be attacked.
Well,
I mean, look at September 9th or September 11th, okay? Look at what happened then. Everybody, red, yellow, and black came together, didn't they?
They did,
Everybody
indeed.
Everybody came together when
it takes,
that happened.
We're
all American. This is what it's going to take?
That's apparently it does. Apparently it does. Something, some trouble from without brings us together. Although this trouble from without right now, the pandemic, has done nothing but kind of separate us again into our, you know. I mean, when you start blaming somebody for causing it when he has nothing to do with it, as in the Democrats, certain Democrats actually blaming Trump for not being able to stop it when they have absolutely no solution themselves. I mean, that is that's
now, Paul,
the
right now
height
we're
of hypocrisy.
Being attacked. We're being attacked in this country by our own people right now, and it needs to stop.
Indeed.
Okay,
no,
our
question.
Own people are attacking us, which means we've got to join together and put a stop to this because the politicians aren't doing it.
Indeed, you're right. So we're only about, what is this? We've only got 2 more months before we vote, right? September and October, and then we've got the presidential election. Now, I have been watching these polls, and I'm telling you that they are starting, that lead of Biden's is starting to dissipate. Because I think now we're getting more people kind of turning their attention. I mean, you and I and a lot of people, you know, we eat this up for breakfast. We love to look at what's going on and talk about it. But a lot of people don't. But they're going to start turning towards this now. And I think these numbers are going to, you're going to start to see these poll numbers really start to change.
I'll tell you another thing I'm upset with, Paul, is these teachers union here.
Mm-hmm.
Going to court and there's one judge. Oh, no, that's unconstitutional. They can't go to school. These teachers need to get off the rear ends, go to school, and let's bring this country back to normalcy. Okay? You look at the numbers. You see how many people died. It's a bunch of baloney. Get your rear ends back to school. Start teaching these kids. Otherwise, if you don't, you're fired. Bring in another row.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of school buses out here in Pinellas County all of a sudden, but we don't have as maybe, what, half the kids are coming back? The other half are still doing virtual learning? What is that kind of what's going on?
Well,
right now?
I would probably, if I had to bet, would say that the Democrat parents are keeping their kids home and the Republican parents are sending them to school. If I had to bet, Paul.
Well, if all of the teachers in public schools are generally Democrats because they support the Democratic, the unions are very pro-Democratic.
Right. We got problems, don't we?
So maybe it's all the private schools that are opening up and all the public schools are staying closed. Is that what's going on?
It's not exactly that, but... I bet you I'm pretty close.
Yeah. But overall, my friend, Andrew the Master Barber, you feel confident that our country is going to stay in the hands of the Republicans come November. What about the House?
I think the House is going to turn, Paul.
You do think so?
Yeah, I think you're going to see. I know Pelosi's going to be out here. She's going to have a heart attack and die. She's
oh, my God.
Or she's just not going to be elected again.
Well,
whatever it is, it's okay with me.
If that happens, I mean, her teeth will fall out on public television. I don't want to see that.
But, you're going to see. I think it's all going to come around, Paul.
I see. Wow. Well, you're being an optimist when it comes to the Republicans, Andrew. That's why we like you.
All right, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much for calling in, and we will be talking again on Friday.
You got it. Bye-bye.
There he is, the Master Barber.
The name of the woman you're looking for, is it Kimberly Guilfoyle?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I was having a senior moment. Kimberly Guilfoyle. She used to be on the 5 program on Fox News, you know, the one that comes on at 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
They still have that show. But she was a regular there, and she was married to Gavin Newsom, who is the current California governor.
Mm.
But she's always been a conservative Republican, I think.
I think she's always been a conservative Republican. She certainly is one now. And she gave a very rip-roaring speech last night, almost over the top, in my opinion. Mm. She needed an audience to applaud, you know, yeah. But there was nothing but silence.
Crickets. Yeah. Did you see Trump Jr.? Does the same motion as his dad in talking.
Oh, like this?
With his hands? Oh. No, the elbows tight.
Yeah,
to the body and the finger pointing up and wrist cocked back.
Yes, indeed.
Trump talks just like
he
this.
Does. Yes, yeah. He does. Maybe it's genetic.
I don't know.
Maybe it's genetic.
He was pretty passionate too. I didn't watch the whole thing. I caught pieces and then I went back and looked some of the highlights of it. But
do you feel that their message? Well, you didn't watch the Democrats, so you can't compare this, it.
They were it wasn't all doom and gloom.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, do you think it was more
light?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. And they were coming up with answers to, what's going to happen forward and stuff like that. So, basically the Democratic convention was just bash Trump, talk about the virus, bash Trump. And usually that was all in the same sentence.
Yes, indeed.
So there was no real, like you said, they would not address the violence. They needed to address what's going on in Chicago.
Absolutely.
You
can't ignore it. People, they want to know what you're going to do.
You have
where you stand on it.
You have what I consider a foreign entity taking over in Seattle and other places, inciting riots and they need to draw a distinction because Black Lives Matter is getting a lot of money. I mean, Pepsi just gave them donated $100 million. I don't know who the check goes to, but that person needs to step forward and say, listen,
where does the check
this
go?
Is not us. We are peaceful. We will be out in the streets during the day, but we are not throwing bricks at officers. We're not throwing fireworks at officers, and we're not burning buildings and car dealerships. That's not us. We denounce that, and that should not be. That would split it right there, but they don't want to do that. No. They don't want to do that. They want to keep it going.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, some of the things that Joe Biden said in his acceptance speech bear analyzing. So stay tuned for it.
Like, hello?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We'll concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, to get hot, I got a lot of, I got hairy legs.
You make me laugh. Oh, goodness. Big Ed, that was not him talking. That was Joe Biden and his hairy legs. By the way, I don't know if Kimberly Guilfoyle was married to Gavin Newsom, but she was
his girlfriend for a while, and she served as an assistant district attorney in San Francisco. So I did want to correct the record.
It says married 2001 to 2006.
Oh, okay. So I was correct originally. She was married to him. Okay. Well, that must have been a marriage that did, when it came to politics, must have been interesting. Before we get into the fact-checking of Joe Biden, did you know that this, here's what they do to you when you complain about your government in Russia. They poison you. Now, the Russian opposition critic suspected to have been poisoned by the Kremlin does, in fact, have poison in his system. He's now in a German hospital. Mm. He's in Berlin. His name is Alexei Navalny. He's a big opponent of Putin, Vladimir Putin, who is running things. And these people tend to get poisoned when they speak out too much. And this is what has happened to this guy. He's still in intensive care, and he is still in an induced coma.
Kind of sounds like what North Korea does.
Yeah. This is what happens when you get into these closed societies. If you speak out against the government, they'll kill you.
Or the Clintons.
I'll tell you, it's terrible. All right. Now, I want to give credit. We're going to fact check Joe Biden's acceptance speech last week. But I want to give credit to Tim Graham of Newsbusters, because he's the one that did the work. We're just going to read some of the things that Joe Biden said is in his acceptance speech that they should fact check. Number one, Biden promised to win, quote, for all the young people who have known only an America of rising inequity and shrinking opportunity. Well, fact check. This not only flies in the face of economic recovery in the first 3 years of Trump, it blatantly disparages the economic record of Obama-Biden. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, Biden says, just judge this president on the facts. 5 million Americans infected with COVID-19, more than 170,000 Americans died, by far the worst performance of any nation on earth. The tragedy of where we are today is it didn't have to be this bad. Just look around. It's not this bad in Canada or Europe or Japan. So here's the fact check. That depends on whether you're measuring raw numbers or measuring deaths per 100,000. Factcheck.org flagged Trump earlier in August with a chart showing America was eighth worst, sixth worst if you discount some of the tiny countries. But measured by death rate per coronavirus case, the U.S. ranks 48th. 48th.
Mm.
Okay? We got just more people than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
More
testing. Number three. Nearly one in six small businesses have closed this year. That's Biden, right? Well, this really should have sent the fact checkers into turmoil. Only, according to the Chamber of Commerce, only 1% of respondents said they closed permanently. So they've temporarily closed. Number four, Biden honored Obama. He said, you're a great president, a president our children could and did look up to. Nobody will say that about Trump. Well, it may vex Biden to know, but many MAGA hat Trump fans would tout Trump as somebody to look up to. So that was a nonsensical statement. Number five, as president, I will make you this promise. I will protect America. I will defend us from every attack. Well, what happened then at Fort Hood? What happened at Benghazi under Obama-Biden? What about the Boston Marathon? You can't protect people from attacks, and you've yet to respond to Benghazi. They've yet to respond to that one. So I think that's just nonsense, is it not? All right, number six. Nor will I put up with foreign interference in our most sacred democratic exercise, voting. Well, again, how did the Obama-Biden administration do on Russian interference? Now the Democrats insist the Russians fouled up in 2016. So who was in power in 2016 when they fouled up? Right? Democrats. Number seven, most egregiously, Biden once again dropped his bottomless Pinocchio and claimed Trump praised neo-Nazis and racists at Charlotte when he explicitly condemned them. He said, remember the violent clash that ensued between those spreading hate and those with the courage to stand against it? Remember what the president said when there were, quote, very fine people on both sides? Well, here's what Trump said. Quote, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists because they should be condemned totally. He said it, but they won't talk about it. So there you go. So already you're on your drums there. I'm glad you are, Ed. We have a good one for our top 10, if I can find it, because I put it down here somewhere.
I didn't want to put it into any of that top seven you were talking about because I have a debate coming up on Thursday, and I didn't want to tip my hand. My comrades are
listening. You didn't say anything. That's true. You allowed me to continue. That's
my comrades are listening.
So you're going to debate our colleagues on the Voice of Reason?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
I shall listen in. That'll be very, very
interesting. Most of America will, too.
I hope that you will put your weapons away before you start your debate. That's important.
It's peaceful.
Okay. These are the top 10 greatest animated movies. Ed, I want to see how many of these you have seen, and I will give you a hint that there is two of them in the 21st century, in other words, after 2000, and the rest were in the 19th, in the 20th century, okay?
19th century. Go back to one top of your 10, movies.
Shut up. The top 10 greatest animated movies. And by the way, this comes from the American Film Institute. Number 10, Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No.
Okay, 2003. Number 9, Cinderella. Did you see it?
No.
1950. Number 8, Shrek.
No.
What? You're not watching any of these
it's
movies?
It's a kid's movie.
Shrek was made in 2001. Number 7, Beauty and the Beast.
Nope.
1991. You ever heard of the fairy tale?
Yeah.
All right. Number 6, I think you saw this one. I'm going to bet you did. Toy Story.
I did not.
Ah!
Toy Story animated and narrated by Tim Allen.
And Tom Hanks.
Okay, well, I didn't watch
Why
it.
Not?
It's a kid's movie.
1995, it was a good one. Number 5.
You know, when you say animated, we used to call that cartoons.
Number 5 was Fantasia.
Okay.
Walt Disney, 1940. Number 4, The Lion King.
Okay.
That was another Walt Disney, 1994. Number 3, Bambi.
Okay.
Come on, you didn't even see Bambi.
No.
Not even on TV.
You mean the old one? Or
yeah, 1942.
I'm sure I was eating my...
Pablum. Okay.
Oatmeal in the morning or something like that when I was a child. I don't know.
Hey, what was that little kid that said, he won't eat it, he won't eat it, and then...
Mikey's eating it.
Yeah. Remember that one?
Yeah, they brought that back.
That's
now classic. Played by a little girl.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Oh, goodness. All right, number 2. Pinocchio.
Sure, I've seen that.
Everybody has. It's a wonderful movie. One was made in 1940. All right. Let me give you a hint. It was a Walt Disney movie, and it involved a lot of little people. Let's see if you can guess.
Little people?
Yeah.
It's not The Wizard of Oz. That's not animated.
Well, there has been. No, it's not.
We got to go.
It's number 1. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, 1937, Walt Disney. Okay, everybody, thank you for listening. We will be back on Friday. FreedomWorks.com.